guys. It's Monday night. This is Win Free, and welcome to our Win Free conference line hour, a.k.a. the Law of One in Motion, a.k.a. who knows what's going to happen next. We are simulcasting with BBS Radio over the Internet, and our conference line that's been going on now for quite a few months. And
what's up?
What's up? I heard that we haven't muted everybody, so if anyone wants to say anything, why don't you guys say hello to everyone on BBS?
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
On BBS.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Now, they could really embarrass me and just be quiet when I say that. really, this is an hour that... let me mute everybody for a moment. Thank you guys for all being here. Thank you, everybody who's listening on BBS.
All callers are muted.
This is an hour which is really an experiment in time. But it's not really an experiment because it seems to be working. It's an hour where everyone who is participating has the opportunity to experience time in a different manner. Now, you don't need this line to experience time differently. And many people are experiencing it. Some of you may be tuning in for the first time and noticing that there's something strange going on with time. And this is actually not surprising if you happen to be a student of metaphysics, if you happen to be a student of the Mayan calendar, that we're going through what's called some people call it a photon belt or a increase of pranic energy, and it's the highest point of energy in 75,000 years, and we are in the middle of it right now, and that when we experience that energy, it gives us the potential. Not everybody experiences it directly. In fact, some people experience it what you could call catalytically, because the energy is there, whether you like it or not, and it's kind of like you're on a fast-moving rapids, and either you're flowing with the rapids, and in which case you don't realize it. From the point of view of being on a fast-moving rapids, you're now in a moving space where if you're doing a good job, you're just there, and the land looks like it's moving, and you're standing still. And if you're not doing a good job, you're paddling and you're trying to stay on board and you keep falling off. And so this is going on for everybody at some level or another. And if you know you're in the rapids, you can psychologically prepare yourself. You learn the tools to how to navigate these rapids so that you can flow with the whole process better. So right now, everyone that's on this line is in the rapids, whether they like it or not, because it's part of the condition of being on Earth in a human body. And some of you are learning to flow with it. Some of you have learned to flow with it. And some of you are like going, oh, my God, I'm going to drown. So hopefully, if you're in the, oh, my God, I'm going to drown category, maybe you'll get some tips and some life preservers during the course of this hour that you can use that would be helpful. And, you know, this, oh, my God, I'm going to drown, is not because of all the external things that are happening in the world. Those things are happening, and those things are happening catalytic because we're on the rapids, and so is the world. And so it's shaking everything up. It's causing everything to shake, rattle, and roll. And we are all shaking and rattling and rolling with it. And part of this is, can you let go of the past? Can you let go of preconceptions? Can you let go of the future? Can you let go of how you thought things would be, should be, could be in your life? And can you stay in the present and be in the middle? And can you operate without knowing anything and letting the data come in and letting your mind creatively come to solutions and conclusions on how to operate with that data? And one of the helpful things about being on this line, those of you that have been coming in regularly know this, that there are many aspects of this period of time that a human really can't figure out on their own. I mean, we can see the effects, but everything I just told you, if I wasn't having ongoing conversations with intelligences in other dimensions that have proved to me that that was the case, then I would be another clueless guy, probably falling off my raft all the time, or holding on for dear life. And so we have this valuable, tool, intelligence, help from other dimensions that are not just voices. Well, they are voices, and they can look at us, and they can observe us, and they can see where we're falling off, and they can help us on how to get back on. They can prepare us. They can psychologically prepare us, and they can connect with us vibrationally. Maybe you can't talk to them in a verbal conversation, but you can make a connection, and you can know they're there. And there can be an interchange of energy. And part of the value of this line is creating a reference point for that connection. And, you know, this is something that I have learned by doing and observing and seeing that it's working. It's not something that I knew, that I got up and I said, I'm going to do this and it'll work. I said, let's see what happens if I do this. I mean, I did know that I was talking to sources that could predict newspaper headlines and could affect a healing for somebody. They had the ability to do that. So they proved that they had to be real, that the people that were channeling could not be making it up. But how to go from there to creating a thing like we're doing on this line and in our group. And those of you that are on the line listening, if you happen to be listening for the first time and you notice some energetic shifts in your space, that may be them coming into your space. So what we're talking about, of course, is these two group souls that have identified themselves as the Elohim group and the Ra group, who we've had long explanations about how they operate, how they've connected with us. And if their indications are correct, these are the two group souls that many times in our history have made helpful interventions with groups of people and sometimes been thought of as God. And some of the major worldly religions were founded as a result of people who were talking to them and co-creating with them, and it ended up something, whether a spiritual movement or a religion or a meditation group or whatever, something where that person who had that communication came to their idea of how to share this with other people in a way that's meaningful. Now, one of the ways that's not as meaningful is to listen to it in your head and listen to it in your brain and hear this as if it's something to believe in, which it's not. You know, there's things that we talk about that if you believe it without having an experience, then you may as well join your local religion, because for most people in religions, they believe without having some kind of experience. I should say not most, but many. And I know there's many that are having an experience, and that they do go to church on Sunday, and they're still having an experience, and maybe they don't have as sophisticated an understanding as we're getting in terms of how it all works, but whatever understanding they're having has taught them how to have a strong intention and how to reach and connect with these sources. And these sources do not care what you call them. They care about your heart and your high intention. So whether you call them Allah, God, Jesus, doesn't matter to them. And sometimes a good Christian might say, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Do you mean, isn't Jesus the one and only Savior and no one else counts? Well, even Jesus said, in these times people would use his name and they would not really be operating in the Christ consciousness. Why would they use Jesus' name? Because it sells. It's popular. You can get attention. And so many people don't know how to use discernment, and they might think if somebody says the name Jesus, that person is cool, and you know somebody who's a con just learns that and uses it, and it doesn't really hold, doesn't stick. And Jesus said, "By your fruits ye shall be known," which is a good, wise thing. Don't believe what someone says. Watch them over a period of time. Do they walk their walk? Are there good things happening around them? If they do, and if there are, then it's highly likely that they are operating within the Christed consciousness. What is the Christed consciousness? Well, years ago I wondered what that was. I heard that many people saying that. Now I kind of understand it, and I would say another way of describing the Christed consciousness is it operating within what is called the law of one? And the law of one means that our entire universe, as complex as it is one energy. And it's energies that are like a river, has tributaries, has creeks and lakes. It's all one body of water separating, and, you know, we are ourselves, we are probably the bottom line of the tributaries where it would be as if there was water flowing from a huge body of water down a bunch of tributaries to tributaries to tributaries. So finally, at the very end, it's a little stream, and that occasionally the top side of the stream dries up. So it loses its connection to the original body of water. And the stream still exists. It still has a consciousness, but it doesn't have a way to connect to the original body of water for the moment. And part of what we're doing and what many people are doing is creating a aqueduct that reconnects the original body of water with the lost, lonely, isolated streams, one way of putting it. And so my sources of this communication have been two people in my life, Terry Brown and Daphne Karandamas. Terry, are you there on the line?
Yes, I am.
And Daphne is sitting next to me. And if anyone's interested, we're sitting in a parking lot of a Starbucks. Is one of my standard points of operation. And we're all humans. We're all going through our things. We're fixing transmissions. We're having dental work done. We have headaches. And in the meantime, we stop on Monday nights to have this coming together of all of us on the line. And what we're going to do tonight is have a conversation with Ra'an. I believe it's going to be Ra'an. I won't guarantee it, but I think so. And, you know, both Daphne and Terry have come on the line, and they have addressed the group, you know, in kind of a monologue to the group, And this evening, I'm just going to ask some questions. And it's kind of like what I do privately for quite a few years now. This is how all this started, where I'm sure many of you have gone to the website Conversations with My Girlfriend or read the book Questions and Answers with Elohim and know the story of how I was with Daphne and she would keep interrupting whatever we were doing and saying, those guys want to talk to you again, and I'm asking endless questions about everything, about the book I was writing. And, you know, one of the amazing phenomena of that period was I was asking all these questions about ascension, about this shift, things that I had never heard in my life before writing the book. And then she was giving me exactly the same answers as were in the book. And I remember thinking, either I've got it right, or there's a conspiracy on the other side to bring forth the wrong information, and it's coming through two channels totally independently. And then, of course, Terry started channeling, and then we have three channels bringing through the same information. And then we've cross-referenced it with Matthew, and we have four channels bringing through the same information. And then I said, let me go cross-reference this on the internet, and I found a book called We the Arcturians that had the same information. I found Barbara Hand Clow that had the same information. I had Carla Ruckert having very closely aligned information, and even Conversations with God, although it doesn't approach this directly, had enough insinuations about this period that whoever was coming through Neil Donald Walsh understood this. And there's tens and tens of people who are channeling the same perspective. And some of the people on this line subscribe to a channeling Yahoo forum, which is run by Karen Carbo, called Just Channelings. Anyone that's hearing this is welcome to check it out, because she just sends out channelings of people to whoever is channeling, and you have probably 100 to 200 people channeling that are just submitting their channels, and there's a fairly consistent point of view. And what's interesting is we have this consistent view coming through channels all over the planet, but not at all on television or the newspapers. So, you know, it's like we have something going on that people have to discover on a grassroots level, because they're not going to discover it through the major media. So that's part of what we're doing here, sharing what's going on a grassroots level for those people that have the connection with it. And I always tell people, be skeptical. Don't believe this. I was skeptical. And I mean, I was having the experience of writing a book and having people in my life channel, and I was still skeptical, and I had to test it. And I said to myself, after probably a couple years of testing, you know, I think this has got something to it. I think it's real and it's important. And that's what led me to be doing these calls. So, we are going to do an invocation to the light. I'm starting early on this at 6:20. And I don't know if we're going to channel this whole period. And, I'm not going to open this up for questions from you guys. I'm going to try to ask questions that perhaps, that I would want to ask if I was you, or even me, because I'm a human. I have the same questions. I am blessed. I think I'm blessed. It could be a blessing. It could be a curse. I know that, to have the responsibility of having these kinds of answers and these kinds of connections is not necessarily a piece of cake, because it kind of puts you in the position of doing things that are totally out of the consensus reality of what everyone thinks, and yet you're compelled to do it because you know if you don't, no one's going to find out. So if you're listening again on BBS for the first time, then please be skeptical. I do urge you to read my book, read both books, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is available on the internet and available everywhere, being distributed by Random House, and it's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and if you want to support the work we're doing, please get it at our website, which is 800-345-NOOK. And when you get it there, you get on our mailing list, and so you get notices of any special channelings or things we're doing. We have a constant continuity of conference calls, because part of the continuity is to help those people that keep falling off the raft, that need something to grasp, that's stable, that's pure, I hope it's pure, and that they can count on. Because sometimes looking out in the world for stability, particularly right now, is not going to work, because things are rock and rolling and shaking, and I'm hoping that what we're doing is creating that stability, so a few more people might be able to stay on that raft while it's going through the rapids of the time, because it's very easy to fall off and go into despair, fear, and breakdown, and hopelessness. And in fact, this is a period of time that is more important than any other time in history to have the opportunity to be of service to others. And so everyone that's managing to stay afloat and on the raft is going to be called on to hold for others, to throw out life preservers for those people that are falling off. And so it's really important to get yourself as together as possible and connected as possible and as expanded as possible and as confident as possible, and to know that those sources, those interdimensional sources, will connect with you based on your intent. And part of this call is to create a reference point. Part of all the calls is to create a reference point. And it's not about feeding your mind new information, but sometimes the mind needs to have enough information to believe in something and believe that it's real. So there is new information and there's new understanding, but that is not the purpose of what we're doing. The purpose is to create a reference point of loving energy in the center of the storm that you can hold on to no matter what happens, and that you can learn to be a reference point in your own way for the people around you, and hold the energy so that those people you care about, those people that you love, sooner or later are going to be in the rapids. And when they are, hopefully you'll be centered and strong enough to reel them in so that they don't drown. On that note, we have Daphne and Terry on the line, and what we agreed is Daphne was going to open up to a communication with one of the high sources we've been working with, and I'm going to ask some questions about the particular time we're in and the group and the phone call and whatever comes to my mind, and Terry is going to ask some questions. Of course, Terry has done an awesome job of holding channeling energy on this line for the past few weeks and on Sundays and on Wednesdays. So tonight she's taking a break. We're all sitting in parking lots. Terry, are you in a parking lot?
Yes, I am. Parking lot on Wilshire Boulevard.
Donald's?
It's next to McDonald's.
Next to McDonald's. We're in a parking lot in Las Vegas next to Starbucks. And so this is the spiritual group of the future operating out of parking lots hundreds of miles apart. And so While all of you are probably safe and sound in your homes, hang on a second. Let's see how many people are on the line.
There are 18 participants in the conference.
18 people. For those of you that are listening on BBS, I want to tell you that if you check in on the line on our phone conference line, you can actually, we do a kind of a, you could call it prayer therapy, or you could call it intent, guided intent therapy, and maybe you wouldn't call it therapy, you'd call it recreating the universe and recreating the holograms for the highest good of all concerned, so that we can heal each other and ourselves as a group effort. And that each of us has the ability to, through our intent, to make a contribution to life. Intention is the human attribute that penetrates the veil, that allows you to communicate or get to be heard in other realms. Intention is what builds the aqueduct across that barrier where the stream is cut off. And when two people have an intention together, intention gets exponentially higher. And when we have all of you on the line and all of you who are listening on BBS, we're creating a group intention. And of course, at the end of the call, usually when the people on BBS are off, I just want them to know that the people on the phone line stay on, and we do putting things in the light, and we do a guided calling in of the light, the sending of the light to people who are at places on the planet, whatever, where light is needed. And we're actually working directly with light at a very high level on this line. So it's powerful. And many people have had amazing phenomena as a result of this circumstance. And it's something that you have to watch and pay attention to for a while. Some of you who are listening with your brains and your minds and are not listening yet with your hearts, that's okay, you know, because you need to test this. You need to test it and when your heart starts listening, it'll happen as a spontaneous expression. It won't happen because you say, heart, open up. It doesn't work that way. Something has to hit you vibrationally, and your heart just opens. And that's true all the time. When people say, we gotta love, we gotta have an open heart, it's almost meaningless because the intention to do that does help bring it about. And probably neutrality, being neutral, not judgmental, and consistent, and being in the right environment with the right people will lead to your open heart. And as those of us who have been studying the material regarding this end of a cycle, an open heart is very important for this period of time. An open heart is what is your ticket to graduate from this realm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call in the light, and I think it's going to be Ra'an that's coming through, but I'll leave it open to whoever shows up. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect each person on this line and each person that's leading this call, facilitating this call, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our bodies to the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy for those of you who free willingly would choose to participate in this, that we who exist as bodies attached to holographic fields, we now commune our fields. We intend a creation of a group field that goes beyond time and space for all those people on this line right now. And we invite those higher dimensional group souls, angelic forces, to join with this field we've created, to meld with it, so that for a moment we become one with them, and we are the interdimensional transmuters anchoring this energy through our own physical bodies and through our own consciousness onto this planet and into the Earth herself. We send loving to the Earth. And on that note, we're going to see if we have a source present that can answer some questions for us.
Continue, please.
Could you identify yourself, please?
This is the Council of Ra'an.
And I'm just going to do a challenge. We've been doing this lately. Could you confirm that you are coming in the Law of One?
We do indeed come in under the auspices of the Law of One.
And you are a service to other group?
We are exclusively service to other in the domain of the Christed consciousness of the Christ light.
And you are operating in the highest good of all concerned.
We operate for the highest good, for the highest will, for the highest evolutionary purpose of all sentient beings on this planet during the ascension process in the Christ of light, in the Law of the One.
Thank you. So we're going to ask some questions that I think would be of general interest to everyone listening. And I'm going to ask the questions, and if Terry has a question, she can ask a question. I'll leave it open to her. But the first question I would ask is, could you explain how it feels to be you, your awareness of yourself? Is that something that we could begin to comprehend or understand as humans?
When you speak of yourself, you speak from the limited perceptual domain of a personality, of an ego construct, of that which is bounded and limited by the parameters of time and space. You know yourself as your personhood. You know yourself in certain familiar constructs, circumstances, habituations, and environments. You know yourself in terms of preferences, of likes, of dislikes. You know yourself as a physical being of certain height and physical proportions, as either male or female, of a certain age, chronology. These do not exist for us, for we exist outside of the flow of time and space. We would not use the word self, perhaps selves, yet this is only an approximation. We perceive, we think of ourselves as highly individuated soul essences yet we are also part and parcel of a construct, an amalgamation of sorts, though we do not lose our individual identity. Yet we are of the love light, purely. The particularities of earth experience for us are things of long distant memories. For some have indeed incarnated on physicalized spheres, planets as yours, and have come up through the graduation and ascension process and have joined our ranks. This is not true for all, only for some. We also experience ourselves as flow, as flowingness, as intention, as focalization, as group intent, group desire, as love light in action, as the import, we operate under the auspice of the Galactic Federation, and therefore what comes down to us as guidelines, as those items which are highly regarded as important, we make these our priority, such as assisting in the upgrade of the evolutionary energies and aiding those who are reaching for these energies on the planet Earth, as your sector is now being bombarded with galactic center and supergalactic center consciousness. And it is consciousness. It is not purely energy. It is a higher calibration of the love light energy / consciousness. And it is creating a shaking out in your field as a planet, as individual societies, as nations, and as individuals. Those whom are having difficulty with this because there are reactionary processes at work here. In order for the love light consciousness to permeate the cellular memory and alter the DNA and to enable latent strands, latent layers, to become active, there must be a surfacing and releasing of ancient, and we mean very ancient, ties to those non-positive polarities which are stored within the miasms, within the blockages. We are called upon now as a group by your species to assist you in whatever ways we are able to make more comfortable, to aid and abet this birthing. And it is a birthing, for you are going through a metamorphosis. It is a state such as a butterfly, a chrysalis has broken open or is about to break open. and a butterfly is about to emerge, a wholly different creature with the abilities of far greater expansiveness than the crawling caterpillar had. It is this depth of profound change which you are currently well into the midst of. In fact, we would say that 2009, April of 2009, would mark a midway point in some ways in terms of the physiological, biological, and metabolism changes which you are going through, those who have consciously embraced this process since approximately 2003, of 5 years ago. Continue, please.
Someone that's hearing this transmission that wants to make a request to you, that wants your help, that wants to petition you for helping the planet, what's the best way for them to do it?
To quiet oneself in the space of one's mind and environment, to call upon us strongly, to invoke protection of the love light Christed consciousness, and to affirm that one is indeed protected, one is indeed safe, and one is indeed whole and perfect in their journey and in their process, and that one is indeed loved. This seals those portals to possible negative doubts and, we would say, infiltrations or attacks from the non-positive sources that would block our frequency. Once this has been performed, one may begin to feel within their localized space a sense of calmness, a sense of lightness, a sense of going inward and yet also being able to be expanded outward and to localize oneself physically on any or into any space on the physical planet, and to be able to actually feel the sensations of being in these different sections of the planet. This, we would say, is a good invocation, a good beginning. Of course, invocation of the light, as you have so done with this transmission, is a good groundwork. It is the tarmac from which this spiritual plane can take off. It is a taking off also of certain aspects of the personality self, the personhood self, which strictly defines and strictly limits an individual to provincial, localized definitions of self. For example, that because you live in California, for instance, you are exclusively a Californian. Yes, you are a Californian, but you are far more than that. Or because you are 80 years old, that you are an octogenarian. Or because that you are female, that you are exclusively only of female energy. All of these are limiting thoughts. They are true to some extent, yet they are not expansive in the way that we are asking you to be able to expand.
Thank you. Terry, do you want to ask a question?
I could ask a question, and if they would prefer on it be answered in another time, they could pass. But my question is, if Earth is in the period of ascension, would it be better for us to ground up to the heavens rather than to ground down into the center of the Earth?
We shall address this with an examination of what the word ground means and in the sense in which we believe you are understanding it. To ground actually means to particularize in the sense of to bring together particles, to amalgamate, to coalesce, to bring coherency, to bring structure, to bring order. And in this sense of the word, at this time, one needs to do both. Think of the shape of a triangle and think of one triangle with the base on the earth. Think of another triangle. Think of the triangle, these are equilateral triangles. Think of them together, and one is above the other, and their tips are touching. In fact, they're intersecting, they're overlapping just a bit. And one is anchored, we can use the word anchored, in the heavens. This is the divine directive. This is the divine celestial intent, celestial blueprint. This is also the emanation of the evolutionary consciousness, love, light, energy from the Hunabku and the supergalactic center. This is the seed, so to speak. One could even think of it as being male or yang or the sperm. The other is earthbound. She is as an ovum. She is as an egg. She is of the moist, of the soil, of the greenery, of the water. And just as a child is conceived within the depths of the womb, and so must be gestated in the protective depths of the womb, if a child is born at 4 months or 5 months, the child will not survive. It does not have the sustained strength to survive outside of that protected, specialized environment. So it is also with yourselves. The impulse of evolution is from the heavens, but one cannot ground to the heavens. One must ground to the earth and to their physical bodies and to their physical locations and to their physical constructs and routines and rituals. So both, from our perspective, energies, places of emanation are valid. Yet we see the earth as being the container, the gestation vessel, and the sky, the heaven, the celestial, as being the energetic directive, the divine blueprint, the cosmological architecting of the shift for the ascension. We hope that this has been a helpful communication for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's 6:52. We're going to sign off from BBS Radio now. And I thank you all for tuning in. And If you're interested in getting our conference line scheduled, please send us an email, winfrey@yahoo.com, and we'll tell you about our ongoing calls. We'll also send you our free book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, and keep you aware of many, many things that you can use to keep yourself on the raft. And so good night, BBS, and we'll just continue now with those of us on the conference line, and we'll do as we've done in the past, just leave silence, and we're not closing out Ra'an from being with us, so that that consciousness will be here, hearing your prayer, putting in the light requests. So we'll just leave it silent, and anyone who wants to speak, oh, let me make sure I unmute everybody.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.